Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 2, Part 3. Rowan.
He felt the shifting, like a warm flow of air under his skin. The sensation not too dissimilar to hot bath water trickling over his arms.
Felidis Lark.
Well done, Rowan.
That was easier than I expected.
No, try writing the sigil yourself.
He rubbed his eyes with his free hand as the pale glow in his fist, far weaker than Kree's, dissipated, leaving her light shining over the both of them.
I can't see enough. Can you bring your hand closer?
Before he had turned his head to look at her, he was forced to blink as the light engulfing Kree's hand increased twofold.
Is this right, Kree?
You need to finish the line between the outer circle. If you do not, something else will happen. Perhaps the spell will nullify itself, leaving you with only a bloody hand. Or something else could happen.
Wait. What do you mean, something else?
A sore palm could be the least of your worries. This power comes with a price, Rowan. It is not to be taken lightly.
Well, Ulrich never mentioned that. The last thing I want is to hurt anyone. Well, none of us at least.
Don't worry. For a first attempt, you've done well. Besides, the Grandmaster sought to draw out your psyker abilities. I, on the other hand, am teaching you the basics of sigilcraft.
Okay. How's that?
It will suffice. Now, take this. It is yours to keep, and you will need it.
The glint of the blade caught his eye. A long, straight knife. He knew its purpose without asking.
Thank you, my icon.
Keep it clean and sharp. I suggest heating it in fire after each use. If your enemies do not kill you, an infection surely will. Now, just a small cut, just enough and none too deep. You can achieve much with quite little.
He pricked the blade into his thumb. Instantly, a small bloom of red rose up through the incision.
Will that do?
A little more. Make a fist.
He felt the warm fluid gather at the base of his thumb and opened his hand, raising it up to Kree as if he were a child expecting praise.
That's it. Now lay your hand upon the sigil and concentrate. Imagine the shape you wish the light to take. Focus your intent, Rowan.
Upon contact with the sigil, he felt the cold and damp ground at first. Then, a small but noticeable tingling began.
For that is slack.
How odd. I've never seen it do that before. The sigil is correct, and I could read your intent true enough, yet...
The light, though not comparable to Kree's, fully engulfed his hand. And like the icon of magic's controlled glowing orb, His fingers seemed coated in a luminescent fluid, which swirled like heatless flame, pulsing within its own contained chaos.
You're the master here. Maybe I've done something else wrong.
Let us try another. Ignatius.
He stepped aside, giving her space to etch out the sigil.
We shall make this the last one for tonight. I think we could use the...
He felt Kriya squeeze his leg, causing him to look down at her in surprise.
How? When did you... Did you already write this out, Rowan?
No. What do you mean?
The glow from her hand shone upon the sigil. Only now it was no longer the runic marking for Lark. Instead, the symbol for light had formed into the sigil for fire. Ignatius.
I never did that.
Do you even know the sigil? Have you practiced it with Ulrich?
I've only seen Amvidar write it. I mean, he used it to light campfires and such, but I swear to you, I do not know that sigil.
I won't lie to you, Rowan. This is not something I've seen before.
It's the lodestone, isn't it? It has to be.
His thoughts raced. He felt the pain from the loss of Alduin, but that had never left him. The fear that he, like his sibling and ancestor Aenirion, may fall victim to the lure of dark promises. Then, like a slap in the face, he remembered he was sharing minds with Kriya.
You think of your gifts as a curse, Rowan, but it is a tool. And with honing and discipline, we can use that tool to prevent you from following in their footsteps. You are not alone in this. We are here to fight the darkness together.
I wish I had your confidence, Kriya.
He felt a push, then a sudden jolt as he hit the damp ground. He had fallen onto his side, shoved by unseen hands. A flickering image of a stray droplet of blood splashing upon the sigil. And eyes opening beneath murky waters.
What did you do that for?
Get up and run. Go, back to the horses.
Before he knew it, he was running. His hands clutched the gifted knife which had not left his grasp. Even in the darkness, he could see the faint purple glow spreading out in a fissure-like crack like a chaotic spider web across the southern ground of Ainworth.
Kriya? Rowan? What the bloody hell is going on?
Orin, just get the horses. Get the horses, Orin.
Oh, I'm beginning to notice a pattern here, lad.
Get up, Corbin. Get up.
What?
We need to leave.
Why?
Why? What's going on? Something's happened. Kriya and Rowan outside. Come on.
Right. Okay.
What is happening, Kriya? What are we dealing with here?
Get your gear and get on the horses.
Kriya!
Kriya just shrugged back at him, shaking her head in reply. The stone, he realized. They were back within its influence.
Can't just wake a man up from a good dream.
We need to leave. Your bloody snoring's led them right to us.
Rowan shook his head. Orin was right. Only it hadn't been noisy sleeper Willem Cormac. It had been him, regardless of the how or why of it.
Mount up! We just better head for the fort.
I hope you've got a fucking key, Rowan. Otherwise, pray the door's open. Because nobody's fucking home.
Orin, have you got the stone?
Of course, lad. I held the cursed thing in my hands the entire time.
Oh, give it here, please. Come on.
Take the bloody thing. I don't want to have it a moment longer than needs be.
Rowan wasted no time in placing the copper box inside of his jerkin. Once it was secure, he kicked Stormor into a gallop, falling in behind Kriya. Cormac and Orin trailing close behind.
Bloody hell! They're coming out of the swamp!
Rowan looked to where Orin was pointing, and he could see the shambling silhouette of bodies moving. He gagged at the stench of rot and foul swamp water as it reached his nostrils.
I was just about to blame that smell on you, Orin.
Fuck off, Cormac. Now's not the time.
Bynd and Orin, it's the villagers. Look at them all.
The morning light was fast revealing the horrors the marshes had hidden from them. Bloated and putrid, it was hard for him to distinguish what was rotten flesh or silt darkened mud. Femurs and finger bones, toothless jaws and broken ribs stood out amongst the filth.
Kreia, can you not do something?
If she had heard him, she did not show it. Instead, Kreia rode on. On down the sodden road, on past the mould-covered hovels, down past the dirty streets that led out of Ironworth Village, and on to the bridge leading to the fortress.
Lieutenant Merrin.
Of them, a group of children had hidden beneath one of their homes. They tried to flee and nearly did so, but I ran them down.
None escaped you?
None, my lord. I saw to their drowning myself.
Excellent. You have done well.
I do only your bidding, my lord.
The hour draws near, and with it, your final test of loyalty. But for now, merely observe.
In the distance, Fort Ainworth loomed like a grey stone giant, rising up from the bogland that served as its moat. Its stout and angled towers bristled with Kalendor archers, frantically loosing arrow after arrow into the horde of undead below. A horde which now ripped and tore, clawed and feasted, preying with unbridled savagery upon those unfortunate enough to be outside of its walls.
The heavy rain is proving to be to our advantage, my lord. The defenders were clearly not prepared to make use of fire. Yet, they are still holding the gates.
He observed the parapets, as boulders, masonry and other heavy objects were rolled over the crenellations, smashing down into the ghoulish attackers who were still staggering in from across the stone causeway.
So it would seem. Then perhaps the time for observation is over.
Below the bridge, hidden, there is a tunnel. It leads up into the back of the armory.
How is it you came to know of such a tunnel? And why are you only telling me of it now?
I served here long before my commission at Fort Drayden. It has been so long I've forgotten of it. If you fear treachery,
I fear nothing from my slaves. You are no different to any other of my thralls, Lieutenant Varen. Perhaps we need to repeat your early lessons.
No, we do not need to, my lord. But please, that title means nothing to me now. I beg you not speak it again.
I find that hard to believe. The very act of not wishing to be reminded speaks of contradiction. A fall from glory is a harsh reminder of one's vulnerabilities. Or perhaps you think, if you go unnamed, your honor is preserved. Does Kalendor still hold your loyalty, Lieutenant?
I serve your will, my Lord Catalan. I am loyal only to you.
I care not for your loyalty, only your obedience.
You have it, my lord. I await your instructions.
And you will now have them.
He stared down from the mount as his new master Catalan marked the air with black runic symbols. He followed the necromancer's necrotic claw-like fingers as smoke trailed from the lettering. It appeared to sear into the very atmosphere around him. As the final marking was wrought, Catalan cast out his blackened hand in the direction of the mort. Under the bridge, the stagnant water boiled. Steam rose up quickly in billowing clouds, engulfing the causeway above.
Go then. Take my revenant guard. Navigate this tunnel and cut a path through the garrison to the main gates. There, you will await me upon the parade ground. Leave none alive.
By your will, Master Catalan.
He kicked his horse into a gallop. Its hooves ripped up the soft marshland ground as he descended from the hillside. From behind, as if appearing from some unseen place, four mounted warriors joined him in stride. Their plate armor thick and blackened by ebon paint, trimmed with crow feathers and furs the shade of fresh coal. Each bore a featureless mask and carried an immense great weapon. These were the true guardians of his lord and master. These ancient champions of yore, raised by necromancy to serve as bodyguards and shock troops. They were savage and terrifying, unrelenting and without mercy. They were built for murder, and they were now at his command.
We go on foot from here.
As he neared the banks of the moat, he saw the path was clear. Holding back the water like a dam, a wall of black flame crackled and hissed in its defiance. The ground had been baked dry in a matter of moments, allowing for his and the guard's passage into the tunnel entrance.
They have tried to conceal the passage, but the entrance should be here. Clear the area.
He stepped beneath the bridge, allowing his master's guard to work. Unlike the revenants, the threat of arrows was all too real for him. He had been assured by Catalan his armor would hold fast against such mortal concerns, but the last few volleys had struck close, some chipping the very masonry which made up the bridge's foundations. Stout plate or no, he preferred to err on the side of caution.
Move those stones there. Make haste.
The revenants, though deadly, were lumbering and slow outside of combat. Yet in battle, they were juggernauts, tearing through enemy lines, butchering their foes with unnatural strength and savagery. Something he himself had been on the receiving end of. As the remnants of the blockage was cleared, he reached down to his sword belt, gripping the red-dyed leather of his weapon's hilt. The falchion had taken some getting used to. Having only ever wielded a straight blade, the weapon felt more akin to an axe than a longsword. Its curved edge was wickedly keen, cleaving with ease through all which it had been brought against. The milky bone-like material which made up its blade was like no metal he had seen before, and the faint emerald light which glowed from the engraved runes upon its surface left him with no doubt of this tool's magical origins.
Fall in behind me and ready your weapons. Move!
That was Chapter 2, Part 3 of Aetherin Dark Saga. Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me, and look for a link in the show notes. Also, I would greatly appreciate any ratings, reviews, or recommendations you can give for the show. I've had some excellent reviews lately, and I can't wait to read some more. As always, thanks for listening, and remain vigilant.